Thanks for listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Now coming to you live from the banks of the Willamette River, it's Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. Online at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
I'm on the beat of the door.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. Our producer is Paul Pimentel. I'm Adam Klugman, and you're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. We're going to take some calls in the last part of the hour here, 1-866-452-0620, 503-248-0620, or pound 620 from your AT&T wireless phone. And we are in the middle of a two-part interview that I conducted earlier this week with Congressman Kucinich. And if you're just joining us, I'm trying to put this in somewhat of a larger frame. We all know that Congressman Kucinich was given a fair amount of pressure from the president. He flew into his district. He asked the congressman to join him on Air Force. Get him to vote for a severely compromised health care bill, one that not only was not single payer, but didn't contain a public option. And Dennis Kucinich was an outspoken advocate for single payer and had kind of vowed that he wouldn't vote for anything that didn't at least have a public option. And yet, in the end, he voted to support the president. And so I contacted the congressman's office and asked him if he would be willing to discuss his decision to vote for the president's bill in the context of this idea that, is it time for progressives, as distinguished from the Democratic Party and this administration, to start losing on principle and gaining critical mass? Or should we still be engaging in compromise and compromises that tend to lead us to somewhat fatal results, as far as I'm concerned? Maybe fatal is too hard of a word, but certainly seems to be compromised to the point of breaking. And so we are asking this question and using Congressman Kucinich's decision to support the bill as a way of talking about it. And after the congressman's interview is over, we're going to have Dr. Margaret Flowers, who is a single-payer activist and was one of the Baucus 8 arrested for insisting during the initial hearings held by Senator Baucus that she be heard on the issue of single payer, which she was not and was ultimately arrested for. So here is part two of our interview with Dennis Kucinich about his decision to support the president's health care bill. We're talking with Congressman Kucinich from the 10th District of Ohio about his decision to support the president's health care bill in light of this dilemma between taking a principled stand and compromise. I saw your press conference when you announced that you were going to support the president, and I saw the dilemma on your face. I knew that you were struggling with this far beyond, you know, any kind of pressure that was being put on you by the president.
No, I want to address something. The idea of pressure. I'm not somebody who anybody can pressure within the confines of Washington, D.C. Doesn't happen. Never has happened in my career here that anybody put pressure on me that I had to do something. I don't even think in those terms. And so the terms that I think and are what about the implications of what is about to happen on, you know, for my constituents. That I'm always thinking about.
What should those of us who want to see universal health care passed in our lifetime do? How do we keep hope alive for single
payer? Well, we have to start again, literally. But we're not starting from a condition where people will say, well, you can't change anything in the American healthcare system. Just think about that for a moment. Think if this initiative, however flawed it is, had been beaten down. People could say, look, you're not going to get anything passed ever. And who could argue with that? But now we've made some progress. We've kept the conversation going. We should renew our efforts nationally and certainly at a state level for single-payer initiatives. And we should do that based on some hard facts about how it saves money, how it can provide more comprehensive coverage for more people. And there's another aspect of the health care discussion that we really have totally ignored, in the discussion about dollars and cents and who profits and who doesn't. And that is the notion of each of us taking a measure of responsibility for our own health. That government can't give us health any more than private insurers can give us health. They could cover the cost. But health is an accumulative condition. And how can we, as individuals, make better choices so we have better outcomes for ourselves, better health? You know, I've taken this upon myself in my own life to change my diet over 15 years ago and became a vegan. So I don't eat animal products. I don't do dairy. And I've had an incredible improvement in my own health. I suffered as a young person, a young adult, and a good part of my early adult life with Crohn's disease. I changed my diet. I changed the outcome. I don't have the kind of health problems I had years ago with one kind of diet. Well, each one of us can take control of something within our lives that produces illness. And so I that has nothing to do with the government.
Right.
Each of us has the ability to take charge, and that's a discussion we never really had, and that is a discussion we should have because it's about diet, it's about the choices we make every day.
Two more questions: any plans to run for president?
I don't plan to run for president. I think I've done it. I've run. I'm in the Congress of the United States. I'm doing everything I can to play a role on major issues relating to war and peace, to the health, education, job needs of our country. There's protecting the environment. I want to stress working for peace. I can do that from the position of being a congressman. I'm still, as a member of Congress, representing Cleveland, I'm still active nationally. And I'll continue my participation on matters affecting not just my district, but the nation. But, I think if people are looking for a candidate for 2012, they don't need to look in my direction.
One last thing. Well, something I do on the show is the central proposition of the show is that I'm going to give everybody from any side of the political spectrum 60 seconds to call in and say why they are mad as hell. And I only have three rules: no racism, no sexism, no hate speech. And I'm wondering if you'd be willing to take a shot at that for our listeners. I think it would be really valuable to hear them do it. So you kind of finish the sentence: I'm mad as hell because.
I'm not mad as hell. I see that anger is aggression directed inward. So I don't work out of anger. What I work from is a sense of understanding the potential of this country and how we have to get away from polarized thinking of us versus them and look at things in a holistic way and put spiritual principles into this material world within which we work and start to elevate it, start to help it radiate powerful and positive energy. We can have the world any way we want it, but it's the only way we do that is to become involved and be active in this world. We cannot stand on the sidelines.
I couldn't agree with you more. Congressman Kucinich, thank you so much for your time, your candor, and for 14 years of holding the progressive line inside of Congress. Thank you very much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Let's talk again.
Yes, thank you. That ends part two of my exclusive interview with Congressman Kucinich regarding his vote on the president's health care bill. I have a tremendous amount of respect for the congressman, and I appreciate all the progressive work he's been doing all these years. There are some substantial things I disagree with him on regarding his recent interview, and some things I truly do understand. When we come back, we're going to discuss that interview with Dr. Margaret Flowers, one of the Baucus 8 arrested for taking a stand to have single payer heard at the initial hearings held by Senator Baucus.
It's Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
If you twist and turn away,
Now, back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
When we walked into that Senate Finance Committee room, we really had no idea what we were doing. We just knew that we had to do it, okay? We knew that we've been trying for months to get the attention, to get single payer on the table, and it wasn't happening. And the normal tools that we use were not working. And so we took our inspiration from the civil rights movement and planned something that we hoped was fairly professional appearing and that would make our point. And as we were sitting in the police station, we thought, gosh, I hope somebody hears about this.
That was Dr. Margaret Flowers on the anniversary, the recent anniversary, of Medicare. Dr. Flowers is a Maryland pediatrician, and she is one of the Baucus Eight. You are listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. The Baucus Eight were a group of single-payer supporters who were arrested by a Democratic Senator Max Baucus on May 5th, 2009, in your United States Senate's hearing chambers for demanding that one witness at least, advocating for a single-payer health system be seated in at least one of the 41 witness chairs. She was not only denied her request, as were all eight of the Baucus Eight, she was arrested and put in jail, and that's what she was speaking to just now. I want to get right into it if we can. We have Dr. Flowers on the phone. Margaret, are you there?
I am. Hello, Adam. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm having lots of fun with the new show, and I got to say it's an absolute honor and a pleasure to have you here. I think of you as the foremost single-payer advocate I've ever met.
Oh, thank you. Well, congratulations on your show, and I'm so honored to be on your inaugural.
Fantastic. So let's get right to it, because we're just not going to have enough time with you. I think
sure.
We could do it for an hour. Tell me, what were your impressions of the congressman's interview?
Oh, Congressman Kucinich. Well, I think I was disappointed in his support for the legislation. We had really put a lot of hope in Congressman Kucinich to be the one who did stand on principle, since so many of the legislators of both parties, all of them actually, were not addressing the real needs of the people of this country. It was disappointing. I was hoping that he would vote against the legislation, as were many of the progressives who were looking to him for leadership on this issue.
What about this argument that he makes, where if we had gotten nothing, if we weren't even able to make some kind of incremental change in the health care reform, that it would have proved that the health care companies were unassailable? This whole idea that from nothing comes nothing, and that we're actually in a better position now because we at least have one foot or toenail in the door, so to speak.
You know, I don't have the answer to that. I think about it very often, and I can see both sides of it, in that by not passing the legislation, it would have been a victory for those of us who stood on principle and did not want to see an insurance company bailout. The industry wrote this legislation. It was written by them, for them. It's now they're heavily involved in how this is being rolled out, and so this was a huge win for them. If we were able to defeat the legislation, then they wouldn't be getting this, you know, the bailout, the subsidies, and the mandated private insurance. So I can see where passing the legislation can be a huge problem for us. As well as I see people who make the argument that that we had to get something done because there was so much opposition to the concept of health reform, in principle. And, you know, it's the whole thing was a huge disappointment. It was not ever the conversation that we were supposed to be having.
So, Congressman Kucinich might have said, no, I'm not going to vote for this legislation. Mm-hmm. And since there was all this attention focused on him, he could have very publicly come out and said, you know, I really believe that single payer is really the only solution, as he said in the interview. That is the only solution. And I'm going to use the opportunity of all this attention being focused on me to promote the cause of single payer. And let's just start again the conversation. And let's, rather than starting it in the middle of the mud puddle, as I feel the president did, let's start it on the hill where we stand for single payer, and then let's pull. And why do you think the president started this conversation in this tug of war over health care in the middle of the mud puddle instead of what I believe he knows is the right thing, which is single payer?
Well, we know that he knows the right thing. We know that he knows what single payer is. I mean, he came out of Illinois. His physicians are single payer supporters. He supported single payer when he was a state senator. But this just shows, you know, that what we have is a political system here and how broken it is, and how actually both of the major political parties are so closely beholden to the industries, the corporations, really control things. And it was such a clever way that they planned this debate. Well, it was not a debate. It was really a charade, but to make it look like a debate, and using the public option as a true way to divide the single-payer movement and distract the conversation away from where it should have been, which is what do we need as a nation. And it's disappointing, but I think it's where we are in terms of our politics right now is it's just very much corporate-controlled, no matter who's in there.
You know, you used a term that when we were talking earlier about this idea of lesser evilism. What do you mean by that? Well, expand on that if you could.
Sure. You know, something that I came out of this whole process learning as my lesson is that if we want to be effective as a movement or effective in creating change and getting the needs of the people met, we need to have three things. We need to be independent. We need to be clear on what we're demanding. And we need to be uncompromising in those demands. And the reason is that when we tie ourselves, independence being particularly important, when we tie ourselves to any political party, what happens in the end is the party may say, well, we can't pass such and such right now. You're going to have to accept this. And they pass something that falls far short of what we want. And at that point, we really should be saying, okay, you're not representing us. We should be voting them out of office. But instead, what happens when election time comes around is they use these big scare tactics and they say, you know, oh, if you vote for the other party, there's going to be all this awful things are going to happen, and so you have to vote for us. And so people then compromise in the end, and they end up voting for the party that really didn't act in their best interest. And I really see that right now where we are with the two major parties, and I'm not talking about individual candidates. I'm talking about the parties as a whole and what they end up, the leadership ends up pushing and passing as legislation. There's not that much difference between them, really. They both support the corporations, but they're used to divide us, the people. We end up fighting over which is worse or which is better, Republicans or Democrats, instead of really focusing on what the true issues are, on what our needs are as a population, and coming together to demand what we need, what we require.
So I think that you've answered the question that is the frame around which we're discussing the congressman's decision to support the president's bill, which is it seems that when we forge allegiances with the party, what ends up consistently happening, it's a little bit like Charlie in the football. It seems that we forge our alliance with the party and they say, yeah, we're going to be there for you.
Right.
And then when the time comes to be there for us, they're not. And they pull the football away and they say, but, you know, if you go play any other game, I'm sorry, you know, you're going to have it worse. And I think that I'm tired of that, too. Margaret Flowers, thank you so much for coming on the show. Is there anything you want to tell our viewers, our listeners, anywhere you want to tell them to go where they can support the single-payer movement?
Yes, please, thank you, because we are still organizing. There's tremendous energy going on to organize around this issue, and so our two sister organizations are Physicians for a National Health Program at www.pnhp.org and Healthcare Now. It's www.healthcare-now.org. Thank you so much, Adam.
Dr. Margaret Flowers, thank you so much for coming on. It's really been an honor.
You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
People go naked, pick up these trays.
Come on.
getting mad as hell with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. Our producer is Paul Pimentel. I am Adam Klugman, and you're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. In the last segment, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-866-452-0620, 503-248-0620, or from your AT&T wireless phone, it's pound 620. We are here speaking with Paul Street, and we're going to take this whole spirit of progressivism to an entirely new level with this author. Paul Street is a self-described independent radical democratic policy researcher, historian, and speaker based in Iowa City, Iowa, and Chicago, Illinois. He is the author of four books. He is a historian, and his recent book is entitled The Empire's New Clothes, Barack Obama and the Real World of Power. It is a sensational book and a lucid kind of eyes wide open look at the Democratic Obama presidency and helping us understand why the change that was promised in 2008 is probably not coming. Anyone who hoped for genuine change and is as disappointed as I am by the real outcomes must read this book. PaulStreet.org is the website. The Empire's New Clothes, Barack Obama and the Real World of Power is the book. Paul Street, welcome.
Hi, Adam.
I love your book. And
thank you.
Thank you. And one of the things that I really liked about it is that it's not a hit piece on Obama's personality, but it is a relentless pursuit of who is really driving the decisions in this country, who has always driven the decisions in this country, and it never gets personal. And I think that that makes it a class act from beginning to end.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. We focus probably too much on individual politicians, on the horse races of elections and individual personalities. And it's probably a book not unlike what I would have written if we'd had a Hillary Clinton presidency or even, dare say, a John Edwards presidency. It always comes back to institutions and structures and ideologies and all of that.
That's an interesting point. We're talking to Paul Street. PaulStreet.org is the website, and the book is The Empire's New Clothes, Barack Obama and the Real World of Power. You just made an interesting point that, if almost any Democratic candidate had been elected, you might find yourself writing the same book. What do you mean? Why is that?
Well, you still, regardless of who's in, given the nature of the process and the amount of money that's required and the favor you have to curry with, what is it now, five corporations that control more than half of all media, print, and electronic, whoever that individual is, to get to that level and become viable and attain power in what is still the world's most powerful country, those kinds of barriers to that kind of level of political success are pretty much the same, whoever that candidate might be.
Let's get right into it. The central point of departure for your book is that the Barack Obama presidency is really just a rebranding of the same corporate-driven agenda that has kind of always been in place in America. What do you mean by that?
Well, you still see a lot of the same sorts of policies that you might have expected to see. You see some that are different. You still see a decision to spend trillions, not just millions, of taxpayer dollars on the bailing out of these parasitic financial institutions, which drove the national and even the global economy pretty much over the edge. You still see the same imperatives of spending $1 trillion a year on the military-industrial complex and on the Pentagon system, and on the maintenance of a strong military presence around the world. These sort of things sort of continue, regardless of which party's in power, which particular candidates are in power. And it's more that can be said about that.
So, what happens to a president who gets in there and then suddenly challenges that whole power structure you laid out for us? What happens?
Money disappears. It doesn't take much. Money disappears. Favorable media coverage, which is absolutely essential to success and to having a second term, goes away rather quickly. Disapproval levels go through the roof. Chance of coming back for a second term, and it really doesn't take much. In this particular book, I show a lot of the different ways in which Obama has been profoundly responsive to Goldman Sachs and to other big financial interests, and ways in which he's betrayed the standard sort of Democratic Party campaign promises that were made in 2007-8 for things like labor law reform, for things like trade legislation reform, for public works, and so on and so forth. But even with that going on, just some of the sort of small-scale, relatively basic steps that he's taken recently on financial reform and financial regulation have been enough to cost him financial support from Wall Street. And everything we're hearing from New York and from the financial sector there is that they've already gone over about 90 to 10% in their giving and their campaign giving to the Republican Party, which is really going to complicate his chances of success in 2012.
Paul Street is our guest. The book is The Empire's New Clothes, Barack Obama and the Real World of Power. It is an excellent, outstanding, informative book. PaulStreet.org is the website. You also have a sensational website. We are running out of time, but I want to ask you this. I quoted you earlier about how in the vacuum of a progressive response to these kinds of policies, in walks this false kind of populism. What can we as progressives be doing? Should we be standing on principle, or should we be making compromises?
Well, you know, one of the problems that's given rise to this whole Tea Party phenomena, which is sort of interesting exactly what that phenomena is, and have time to go into all of that. You know, popular resentment abhors a progressive vacuum, and the absence, you know, of significant progressive left labor citizen oriented rank and file organizing and channeling of legitimate anger from the bottom up. In part because just too much of what passes for a left infrastructure in this country seems just bedazzled by His Holiness the Dalai Obama to a degree that becomes sort of becomes dysfunctional. You create this vacuum, and in walks this profoundly dangerous and arch plutocratic and messianic militarist and significantly racist and sexist and nationalist authoritarian misdirection and dangerous channeling of legitimate popular anger. And it's called the Tea Party, which in large measure I consider a rebranding of the Republican Party.
It is. Paul Street is our guest. The book is The Empire's New Clothes, Barack Obama and the Real World of Power. PaulStreet.org is the website. Paul, thank you so much. I hope you'll come back on.
Thanks so much, Adam.
Thank you, Paul. When we come back, we'll take your calls. Stay tuned.
We want the world and we want it.
We want the world and we want it.
Yeah.
It's Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
What have we got right now?
We've got the Arctic,
which helps keep our sea levels steady.
We've got living oceans,
which means we still have a valuable food supply.
We've got trees in the Amazon,
which helps keep our climate stable.
We've got freshwater streams and rivers,
which means your kids and grandkids will have drinkable water.
It'd be a paradise, put up a fucking line.
Today, all this is in danger of disappearing. Don't wait till it's gone. Protect the future of nature. Visit worldwildlife.org.
AM 620 KPOJ has just made shopping a little bit easier. Log on to 620kpoj.com and select a category from the keyword search boxes in the upper right corner. We've got everything from auto dealerships to travel agents. Just highlight the product line of interest and click go. You'll find links to get your shopping trip started without ever leaving your computer. It's just one more reason to make us your homepage. It's Portland's progressive talk station. Online and on demand at 620kpoj.com.
Now, back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. Our producer is Paul Pimentel. I'm Adam Klugman, and you're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station, and we are sure glad it's here. We're going to get to your calls in one moment, but I wanted to talk a little bit about something that's on my mind. Have you noticed that there's a lot of rallies going on lately? It seems that Glenn Beck has kind of started an unfortunate trend, you know, and now there's this One Nation rally, and there's the Jon Stewart rally, and now the Stephen Colbert rally. And my concern is, certainly starting with the One Nation, is quite frankly, I don't know exactly what it's about. It seems to be about a lot of things. I'm looking here, something on their site. Jobs, peace, justice, bring our troops home. War dollars, fund jobs, not war, end war. Rebuild America, end the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan now. Bring our war money home. It seems like, we want everything. But by wanting everything, we don't seem to get anything specific. So I wish that I could get some focus on the One Nation. But even taking that a step further, the Jon Stewart, the Colbert, does it just become part of the circus? Is it just part of the same circus, the media circus that we're watching? And the real central question is, does it dilute the power and efficacy of true organizing? So I'm going to get a little bit more into that next week because I find this subject really, really fascinating. But right now we're going to go to your calls and we're going to go to Gregory in Damascus. Thanks for calling. You're on Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. What are you mad as hell about?
Adam, I'm pretty mad as hell about lots of stuff. And I'll be singing my heart out about it every Monday night after 9:30 downtown at the Dante's on Burnside. I'm going to be performing with a Mad as Hell disposition with a band named Karaoke from Hell.
What do you guys sing about?
It's essentially a review of kind of the musical overnotes of memories past. You know, I'm a 58-year-old guy just breaking the surface as a vocal performer.
Right on. Well, now everybody knows about it, so go out and check Gregory out. What's the date, Gregory?
It's only Mondays, but it's Mondays between October 4th until the election. That would be the Monday before Election Day, November 1st. Just Monday nights after 9:30 down there on Burnside there at, you know where.
We know where. Gregory, thanks so much for calling Mad as Hell in America. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. The number here, 866-452-0620, 503-248-0620, or pound 620 from your AT&T wireless phone. Let's go next to Hans in Portland.
Hi, Adam. You know, I'm mad that too many liberals can't be bothered to even show up. I followed the Mad as Hell doctors all the way to D.C. last fall.
Yes.
You know, Dennis Kucinich spoke at that final rally. We still had hope at that time for single payer, at least a strong public option. And thank you, by the way, for that interview. I finally understand Kucinich's vote, though I do take Margaret's words to heart. But honestly, man, did that turnout in D.C. last October meet your expectations?
Honestly? No, I didn't. I was hoping that we were going to have more people. I was glad there were people there, but if we're going to get it, we need hundreds of thousands of people.
Absolutely.
Making that demand.
You know, it's like this Leo DiCaprio movie, The Beach, where he's in this utopic hippie commune in Thailand.
Yeah.
You know, it not unlike Southeast Portland. And one of the members falls victim to a shark attack, but he's not killed. He's dying, though. So even before nature can take its course, he's removed from the community so they can, you know, live as before. And I feel like the people that are still passionate about ending the war are like that shark attack victim. It's like, you know, get him out of sight. Get him out of the way. You're a one-note Johnny, and we've heard it all before. It's been, what, 9 years? And I understand that they're tired of it, but the war's still going on, and I still feel mad.
You know, one of the things, thanks for calling, Hans. I really appreciate it. One of the things that really that gets to me and that your call brings up is this idea that there are 20-year-olds out there who've only known our country at war since they were 10. That means half of their lives, our country has been in this war at which, you know, there's this kind of low-level impact to our society that we can't see. But one day, our foot's going to go through the floorboards, Hans. One day, this war's going to cost too much. It's going to break the economy just like it did to the Soviet economy. And then people will be paying attention. Thanks for the call, Hans. You are listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman, AM 620. KPOJ, we're ready for another caller. Let's go to Elaine. What can we do for you, Elaine? What are you mad as hell about?
Hi, I am mad as hell at the state of healthcare in this country. And I'm not talking just about the insurance and the fact that we couldn't pass a public option for insurance. I'm talking about healthcare itself. I think it is so abysmal because there is no profit to be made from a person who is well. So we can't keep people well. We prefer to have them sick so we can make money off of them.
Elaine, that is the truth. Until we get profit out of the healthcare system, the only thing our healthcare system is going to produce is profit, not health. Great point, Elaine. Thanks so much for calling. Let's go to Chris in Battleground. Chris, what are you mad as hell about?
Oh, I'm actually not mad today, Adam. I just wanted to call and congratulate you on your first inaugural show.
Hey, thanks so much.
I'm a conservative that you've talked to before, and I just wanted to let you know I am listening and I will keep listening.
Thank you so much, and tell your friends and family. All right. Thank you, Chris. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Margaret in New York City. Margaret, are you there? Okay. Margaret.
Yes.
Margaret is gone. Okay.
No, I'm here.
Oh, Margaret. Margaret. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. I'm mad as hell that there are still too many progressives who, unlike Paul Street, don't understand how the system works and are willing to be abused by the Democratic Party over and over again.
Margaret, I couldn't agree with you more. I think abused by the party over and over again is kind of where we're coming to. And that's why I had Paul Street on. I really want to get this discussion started. We've got to figure this out as progressives. Are we going to take this stand? And if we're going to take this stand, we better start taking it now. And I'm kind of tired of this argument that people put forth that says, well, you know, Barack Obama's been consistent. You know, he never said he was going to do single payer. He never said he was. He said he was going to escalate the war in Afghanistan. Well, does that make it right? I mean, it doesn't make it right. It's still not the right thing to do.
And it's not the point. We need to tell him what we want him to do.
Right on, Margaret. Thank you so much. Melvin in Portland, you're on AM 620 KPOJ, Mad as Hell in America.
Thank you. I'm just mad as hell that this country has lost its humanity and been turned into a society of predators. And, you know, we don't give anything anymore. It's all, you know, cost-benefit analysis, and it's sad.
It is sad. I think that lost humanity, everybody's kind of selfish. I think the Republican Party and I think conservatives have really fostered this culture of me, and they're going to take something from me, and they're sponging off the system. And the whole spirit of charity has been lost in this country. Melvin, thanks so much for the call. Look, there's going to be another show next week, the 25th, same time, from 3 to 6 on September 25th on Saturday. And I appreciate all the calls, and I appreciate all the support that I've gotten from so many people. It's really time for me to take some time to thank the people. First of all, I want to thank my producer, Paul Pimentel, for doing such a sensational job. I absolutely could not have gotten through this without him. It would be like trying to fly an airplane. I wouldn't have a clue. I would just keep running it into the ground. My associate producer, Amber Norling, for just kind of always being the organized person that keeps me together. Thank you so much. My on and off content producer, Zachary Rabidoff, the smartest smartest guy I know. The smartest guy I know, Zachary. I'm always having arguments with you in my mind. Thank you so much for your honesty, for pushing up against me. And, of course, to my guests, Mickey Huff and Peter Phillips, the Reverend Barry Lynn, Dr. Margaret Flowers, Paul Street, and, of course, Congressman Kucinich, thank you so much for coming on the show, knowing the context, knowing the tough questions that I was going to ask, not just of you, but of our callers and our other guests. I really appreciate your candor. It means a lot. I could not have done it without the support of people like Enrique Arias and Gary Jelinek, and finally, Carl Wolfson, who has been so supportive, taught me so much. And Tom and Louise Hartman and Sean Taylor, thank you all for your support and your confidence in me. It has made a big, big difference. I'm excited and thrilled to be through this first chapter, and I look forward to many, many more. Thank you all, and remember to get mad, stay mad, and give them hell.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window and stick your head out and yell, "Clap me! Clap me! Clap me!"
You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.